It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. When a fetal death occurs after 20 weeks of pregnancy, it is called stillbirth. And stillbirth is more common than most of us realize. It occurs in about one out of 160 pregnancies in the United States. Kate Safras is one of the founding members of a group called Healthy Birthday. It's a group founded by five Des Moines moms who all lost babies to stillbirth or infant death. They join together to heal and to also help prevent the loss of other babies. And Kate is with me now. Hello, Kate.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And let's go back to a very difficult time in your life in 2001 when you lost your baby, Emma. She was not stillborn, but she was born with a very serious problem. Can you tell me what happened?
Absolutely. Our daughter, Emma, was born, as you said, 13 years ago. I went into the hospital at 35 weeks. I thought I was having some contractions and went in with bliss. You know, excitement that I was going to have my first daughter. Little did I know that tests would lead to a very different outcome. We entered triage, had a nurse tell me I had a sleepy baby, followed with some tests, eventually looked with ultrasound and saw that she had some severe problems surrounding her heart. And within a day or two, we realized that those issues were very grave. She was delivered the next day and had congenital heart defects. Her whole heart was diseased and had various defects that made her incompatible with life. She would have had to have a heart transplant, which she wasn't a good candidate for, and she lived 8 days. And, it's something I wish on no one, but she has absolutely transformed my life. She's with me every day.
When you were grieving, you connected with other mothers who had had similar experiences. How did you find these other women?
You know, that's right. One of the very first thoughts I had upon losing Emma was I needed to see someone who had lived through this because I very much didn't think that I could. And I remember very vividly sitting in the car one day with my husband, and we had gotten home from a doctor's appointment, and I was angry. I was just angry, which is a very common, you know, stage in grief. And I'm not an angry person. And my husband turned to me and said, "You can't be this angry forever." And that was a pivotal point for me. I knew that not only could I not be that person, but that I needed to find other women to connect with, and I needed to find meaning in this tragedy. So I was fortunate in the next, it was a year or two that I was able to connect with four other Des Moines women. We really found each other through friends of friends. Another of our founders, Tiffin, I went to her hospital room because a friend of mine was a friend of hers, and I went and we talked about how to plan a funeral for our daughters. So it really, our friendship became just as support for one another, because you really have to believe that you can get through something so tragic. When you're in the depths of grief, it very much feels lonely and as though you will be there forever. So,
is there a network that helps you connect with other mothers who've gone through something similar, or were you just fortunate to find these other women?
We really were just fortunate and realized how lucky we were. And that's actually one of the very first things we did as a group, was to try and connect other women together, because we felt like we were placed in each other's lives and other women weren't so fortunate. So we started a parent-to-parent network, working with some local hospitals and doing some training with their nurses on how to connect parents together. And to this day, we have parents who contact us, and we will put them in contact with another bereaved family with similar circumstances so that they can get through that tragedy together. That's been very much a part of our healing, and we want that for other women as well.
There are five of you all together who founded this group healthy birthday, and all five of you lost baby girls, either to stillbirth or infant death, within just a few months of each other. And I mentioned earlier that stillbirth is more common than most of us realize. Were you stunned by how many women you were able to find who'd been through something so similar?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was one of the very first things we all realized, especially the other four members who had stillborn babies. You know, their doctors all said to them, this doesn't happen. You know, this is, you're one in a million. And as we talked and, you know, logic set in and we went, really, how is this that here we all are, Des Moines women, and the numbers can't be what we're hearing. And as we researched, we found that really wasn't the case. One in 160 pregnancies, and it's probably more because the reporting is not well documented. One in 160 pregnancies ends in stillbirth. And, you know, we all hear about SIDS, for example, which is a terrible tragedy. But our stillbirth numbers are actually much, much greater than our SIDS numbers even. And so we got to asking ourselves, why aren't we talking about this? Well, the answer is pretty simple. It's not fun to talk about.
Well, and I think a lot of people, you know, the time to talk about it is when you're pregnant. And a lot of people have this aversion to talking to a pregnant woman about this kind of outcome.
Absolutely.
And I completely understand that. But you and the other moms in your group, you decided together that you could do something bigger than just connecting families and healing and helping each other. How did you decide that maybe there was something that you could do together that would help prevent some stillbirth?
Yeah, you know, going back to that conversation I had with my husband in the car when I said I had to find a greater good for Emma's life. And as I met these other women and connected with them, we realized we needed to go beyond the grief and the friendship that we had formed, and we needed to prevent this from happening to other women. And we learned about a study in Norway that told us that they had educated their population of women on tracking fetal movement during the third trimester of pregnancy. By doing that, they had reduced their stillbirth rate by a third. And when we learned about this information, it was at a conference. We weren't an official nonprofit yet. And Janet and Tiffin had both gone, two members of our founding members, had gone to this conference. They were on a plane home, and they literally mapped out on the back of a napkin how we needed to take this to Iowa. The study hadn't been published yet, like I said, but we felt like we couldn't wait. This was tracking fetal movement was as simple as a mom counting kicks for her baby in the third trimester daily. It was free. It was simple. It was non-invasive. It was a great way to bond with your baby. And we said, here we are in Iowa. You know, we can start here. And we were determined to make Iowa the safest place in the nation to have a baby.
So you launched the Count the Kicks campaign, and this was in 2009?
Yeah, our official launch was in 2009, although we really began more in 2008, working with the Iowa Department of Public Health. The Heinz Foundation had worked with us as well in getting that out. We really began as friends and moms in coffee shops, and we tried real hard to not become an official nonprofit. We thought we could just do this as moms, you know, and we soon realized that in order to get funding, we had to become official. And so we did. And by 2009, that's when we officially launched in Iowa.
Now, I was talking to Lisa Heineman a few minutes ago. Count the Kicks would not have helped her baby survive. Mm-hmm. Count the Kicks would not have helped your baby survive.
Right.
How does it help? Who can it help?
Well, so many of the stories that you will hear from pregnant women who have then lost a baby to stillbirth, you will almost always hear them say, you know, he slowed down or she slowed down in movements, but I didn't really think anything of it, or I didn't know there was a problem, or I didn't want to bother the doctor. you heard Lisa talk about, you asked her about any kind of guilt. And of course, any parent, right or wrong, goes back and questions what they could have done. And we don't want moms to have that guilt. There really is research to show that in many situations, especially issues with knots wrapping around cord accidents around necks, those babies' movements most often slow down. And so if we can key our moms into babies' movements and encourage them to contact their doctor, we know because we have baby saves that are coming in, so often for us, we know that we can save babies.
You have just released the new Count the Kicks app, and this is for iPhone, it's for Android devices. How does it work?
Yeah, we started our campaign with brochures in doctor's offices, and right now we have 80%, of Iowa OBGYN and hospitals with our brochures using our materials. We provide those free of charge in Iowa through grant funding, but we started to get requests from all over the world for our materials. And as much as we wanted to provide those free of charge, we didn't have the funding to do that. And so we had to say to ourselves, how can we reach all moms for free and right where they're at? And the app was the perfect answer to that question for us. You know, we are in an age of the digital mom. We have our smartphones out, and we wanted to meet those moms where they're at. So this app works by simply every time mom feels a kick, she touches the footprint on the screen. Once she gets to 10 kicks, it will log those kicks into a chart and will chart those daily. So mom can see a pattern. She can share that with her doctor. And we're really looking for pattern changes. This will really allow mom to get to know her baby and bond and realize, kind of what those kicks look like on a daily basis. If they see a sudden change, which again, most moms who will have had a stillbirth will tell you they did notice a change and just didn't know what to do. So we want those moms to call the doctor.
Well, and doctors and midwives and other practitioners have been asking about this for many years. I mean, have been asking pregnant mothers about how is the baby moving, what's going on.
Absolutely.
How does this change your ability to answer that question?
Yeah, that's what's we really want people to know. This isn't something we created, the five moms giving medical advice. It's not that at all. This is a standard of care. And many, many OBGYNs talk about this to their patients anyway. We feel like we're kind of marketing it for them. But ask any pregnant mom and she will have heard the question, how's your baby moving? I specifically remember that so well. And I remember thinking to myself, how do I answer that? Fine, I guess. I guess she's moving okay. But I didn't have anything to compare it to. So what we're doing is giving moms that data to say, I can show you, right here on my phone, right here with my app, I can show you the patterns of my baby's daily movements.
You are saving babies' lives and you're helping mothers, you're helping fathers. Clearly, your movement is making a difference. But as I was just talking with Lisa about after a baby dies, there are so many questions, and it is a parent's first impulse almost to blame themselves somehow and to ask all of those questions. Do you also feel that we just need to raise awareness that this happens a lot more often than we think it does?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because really, Lisa said, we aren't talking about stillbirth. It's not part of our conversation. So often we have this misconception that after the first trimester of pregnancy, if you get through that threat of miscarriage, it's smooth sailing. For most women, it is, of course. But reality, that number of 1 in 160, that is not something that the public is aware of. And until we start that conversation we can't do, you know, we don't have funding for the research. We don't have funding for these kind of campaigns unless the public knows that there's a problem.
You have written that losing Emma changed you and made you a better person. How do you feel that is?
Absolutely. I say that she's with me every day. And as awful as that time 13 years ago was, I wouldn't change having her, even though I lost her. She has made me a better mother, a better friend. We often say that our work with Count the Kicks and Healthy Birthday is how we're moms to our girls every day. And she is very much a part of my life. I have three healthy children here on earth, and I have an angel in heaven that is watching out for me every day, reminding me what's important in life. And she's brought me incredible friendship of these women. We now have women all across the country spreading our Count the Kicks message. She's brought me that friendship. This is how I can repay her.
Kate, what would you say today to a woman who lost her baby?
I would spread a message of hope. I can't imagine a lonelier feeling than to having lost a child. I was there. I remember not feeling like I could go on. And I remember the anger and the hurt. What I would tell her is there is light, there is hope. And it's about finding that and, you know, just believing you can go on, because you will, and that baby will be a part of your life, very special part of your life forever.
Kate, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kate Safras is one of the founding mothers of the group Healthy Birthday. She is also one of the founding members of the Count the Kicks campaign, and they have just released a new app for iPhone and for Android devices that can help moms count the kicks during their pregnancy. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. The program is produced by Dennis Reese and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Charity Nebbe.